This is Patrick Hart Ministries' Young Catholics Respond, brought to you by Viva Guadalupe. Now, here's your host, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm Bill Snyder, your host, and today we will be discussing the Children's Rosary, which is a prayer group movement for children. These prayer groups exist in parishes, schools, and orphanages in approximately 30 countries around the world. We have the founder, Blythe Kaufman, with us here today. Blythe is a Catholic wife and mom of three children. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for joining me today, Blythe.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for having me.
So obviously today we're going to talk about the Children's Rosary, but before we jump into the Children's Rosary, can you just give our listeners an overview, a brief one, of what the Rosary is?
Well, the Rosary is really a prayer that involves contemplation of the life of Christ. So currently we have 20 different decades that each have a mystery associated with them. So usually when you say a rosary, you pray five decades, but you can say up to four different rosaries, and they all cover different mysteries. There's the glorious, the sorrowful, the joyful, and the luminous. And all of, during those that time, as you're praying usually with beads and counting, you're praying an Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, and a Glory Be, while contemplating different parts of Christ's life. So it, and there's different fruits that are associated with each of the mysteries, such as the first glorious mystery is faith, or the first sorrowful, the fruit would be sorrow for our sins. So there's a lot of graces that flow while you're contemplating the different mysteries of the Rosary.
Beautiful. So now we want to jump into your apostolate and the Children's Rosary. Can you just explain to us what the Children's Rosary is?
Well, many people might be familiar with prayer groups for adults, but often you don't see prayer groups for children. So this is something where the children would gather regularly, weekly, monthly, or in some countries they even meet daily to pray the Rosary as a prayer group. So there's very few places that children can go and see other children praying, and there's a lot of strength that comes and support when you have other people to pray with, and you can bring these things that are bothering you, your issues in your family. There's a lot of things that kids are dealing with today. So this is to support the prayer lives of our children. And these typically, as I mentioned, or you mentioned rather, that they exist in parishes, schools, and orphanages. So those are that's kind of the environment by which where they meet.
Beautiful. And tell me, what prompted you, or you know, how did this begin? How did you, this movement, this prayer movement, begin?
Well, actually, it came out of a call for help from our pastor. There was some financial problems in our church. He was concerned for the future of it, whether we'd have to merge with another church, and so he asked the congregation for increased donations. And a couple of months later, he came back. Same thing. Nothing had really changed. And so in prayer, an inspiration came. Maybe we should bring our children to prayer because the prayers of children are so strong. And so I approached him, asked him, wrote him a letter. And so on April 10th, 2011, we had a small group of children that met in our parish in West Hartford, Connecticut. And there were not that many children, but a few had disabilities, not that we had recruited them in particular, but they just happened to be the ones that came. And the children prayed the Rosary, and something really interesting happened. It was the highest collection that weekend, second only to Easter and Christmas. And there was really nothing special going on, no First Communions. It was the weekend before Palm Sunday. So it was just a beautiful signal of grace showing the power of the prayers of children. And so from that point, really, we just thought, was this just going to be a one-time thing? And we decided to continue having the prayer group. And so we met for about a year and a half as just one little prayer group. And then another group formed on the other side of the United States, and then another one, and then another one. And so it's just grown really in a grassroots way throughout the country, and then now spreading to all different points, about six different continents across the world.
Wow, that's really incredible. Tell me about if somebody wanted to go about starting their own group, what would they do? How would they get involved to do that?
Well, the first thing you'd want to do is to ask the pastor of your church for permission to start a children's rosary prayer group. And then once you've, and you might also want to visit our website where we have some information there. It's childrensrosary.org, and there you're going to see we have a little book. It explains the steps, and often it's helpful to purchase one of those books and show it to your pastor so he can see it's Archbishop has written an introduction, et cetera, so they can see that there's been some review of that. And then you can register the group on our website. And there's a portal there, and there's a lot of resources available for the group leaders, such as sample bulletin notices and sample flyers or logos and different things to help you in starting the group. But some of the things you're going to want to think about are, when do I want to hold the group? Do I want to have it weekly or monthly? What day of the week would be better? We've got some instructional videos to help you think about that process. So once you've chosen the week, the time that you're going to do it, then you want to invite some families to come. And there's some other things we have, some music and things you can use at the meetings. So those are some of the beginning steps. It's really not that complicated, but what I like to say, it's never exactly easy because you do have to put a lot of prayer, and there may be little bumps along the way, but the fruits are very have been abundant from it.
That's wonderful. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about the fruits, Blythe. For the kids, you talked about, you know, this incredible story about the parish you're at, having some financial need, and you know the prayers of the children, and rising up, answering that through you know, miracle there. But what other fruits do you see with the kids themselves that are praying this rosary? For all these different intentions and needs, what is their reaction? I mean, obviously, You've done this for a long time, so just maybe talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, we've seen there's been lots of different things happening throughout the world. We've been hearing back in Nigeria. One of the group leaders there shared that one of the older boys that was helping with the group decided to enter the seminary, and one of the younger, well, the women, she was I think a teenager at the time when they started, but she is now also she's entered into the religious order. So there's vocations that come out of this. In our own group, I saw one girl was attending for a while, and then she stopped for a period of time, and then she came back. She was a little bit older. She was 14. Typically, the age range is about 4 to 14, but she had just started high school, and she was feeling she would try to pray right before she would take a test, and there wasn't a lot of other people. She just felt very kind of isolated in her faith, and she really wanted to come back and pray with other kids again. So as people feel sort of challenged a little bit in their environments, this is a way to kind of reaffirm the seeds that were sown earlier on. So that has been very supportive for them. But some interesting other things that have happened, for instance, in Kenya, there was a seminarian who was trying to evangelize an area that was along the Tanzania border, very, very rural, and he wasn't having much effect, and so he started a children's rosary prayer group in the parish in Rombo. And then they have many outposts there where the priests go maybe once a year because it's so far the distance and it's very rural. So first one of the outposts started a group, then other outposts started to hear about it. They wanted a children's rosary prayer group, so they would meet weekly. The families would come, the children would lead the rosary. And there had been a lot of infighting amongst the people running the outposts. But when the pastor went to visit those outposts that had been praying and having children's rosary prayer groups, he found them very much changed. There had a peace had come over the region, and there was that infighting had been a peace had come over that, and there were many more families there. It was very vibrant, just completely changed for the better, and that spread throughout that region. And then an update to that was the pastor was reassigned somewhere else. And he asked that seminarian to come and travel to his new parish because he wanted that same thing to happen at his new place. And then these distances traveling, it's difficult. And so he thought it was worthwhile to bring that to the next place that he was at. So you can see there's fruits coming regionally, really, from the children praying, fruits into the family, fruits into the community and the church itself. So the the primary focus of the Children's Rosary is not intercession. It's not an intercessory group where you pray for particular things. It's really to support the children in their prayer lives. But the fruits and the things that ripple out from it are multifold. So you see a lot of different effects from those little children praying that are going to touch a lot of different people.
That's incredible. And as just as you're listening to this, there is such a global impact of what the rosary is and what children's prayer is. And I think that, you know, this is such a powerful devotion and a powerful apostolate that that you can easily get involved in. This is not something that is, you know, difficult to do or to start. And I know you touched upon it just a little bit, but when we come back from the break, Blythe, we'll talk with you a little bit more just about how you can get started and the resources, because you have a lot of different resources on the website. And so we'll talk with you about that, and then we'll also talk with you about some wonderful videos that are being produced and just more about this wonderful apostolate. So thank you so much for sharing your faith with us. Thanks so much for sharing your just beautiful apostolate. Again, it is the Children's Rosary. Today I'm talking with Blythe Kaufman, the founder of that apostolate, and we're going to just take a short break here on Patchwork Heart Radio's Young Catholics Respond, but when we come back, we'll have more with Blythe. So stay tuned right here on Patchwork Heart Radio.
For nearly 500 years, the people of Mexico have taken advantage of a promise made by the Queen of Heaven. In the year 1531, Our Lady appeared to a humble Aztec Indian and revealed herself to be the mother of the one true God. Telling Saint Juan Diego that she desired a temple to be built in her honor, she promised that she would help all those who appealed to her motherly love and protection. To seal this promise, our Blessed Mother left an image of herself that has been miraculously preserved and can be seen by all who visit the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Our Lady is not a liar. For nearly five centuries, millions of people from throughout Mexico have made pilgrimages to the shrine, either seeking Our Lady's help or thanking her for a petition granted. Today, more than ever, she is ready to help you or any of her children who seek her assistance. To learn more about how you can visit this remarkable shrine and bring your own petitions to our Blessed Mother, please visit vivaguadalupe.org.
This is Martha Fernandez-Sardina with your Love Minute, brought to you by rememberyouareloved.com. Do you know that you are so lovable and so love-able because God is love? Yes, we have been made lovable. You are precious. You are valuable. You are worth creating, redeeming, and sanctifying, no matter what the world believes, no matter what you might believe, because of a wrong image of yourself. God looks upon you and smiles. We see in the book of Genesis that when God created everything, he looked at it and said, "It is good." When God looks at you, he says, "My child is good." You are lovable. And like God, you are love able. You have the capacity to love, to lay down your life for others. So let's go ahead and exercise our love ability, our ability to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. For more on love, find us on facebook.com/rememberyouareloved. And remember, you are loved.
Now back to Young Catholics Respond. Once again, Bill Snyder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. I'm your host, Bill Snyder, and today we're having a wonderful conversation with the founder of the Children's Rosary, Blythe Kaufman. And Blythe, we talked a lot about the apostolate. We talked a lot about, how to begin it and some of the fruits that the children were seeing around the world in all these different areas. But tell us a little bit more about, now you've piqued the interest of all of our listeners, so tell us now about some of the resources that you have on the site to help the average Catholic out there start the rosary in their own parish or place that they want to start it.
Well, I just want to first thank you again, Bill, for having me on the show and featuring this Children's Rosary. As the month of October is the month of the rosary, it's certainly timely to speak of it. Some of the resources that we have is, first, I would say the book, the little booklet. It's Western Religious Catalog with links, and there's a lot of bookstores that carry it too. But it's available both individually and if you want to just get one book to show your pastor. Each book really is a seed to start a group. So you really only need one, and it explains in about 5 to 10 minutes why would you even want to bring your children to our Blessed Mother, to Our Lady, the Rosary, the role of parents in evangelizing their children. And how do you start the group? Step by step takes you through. How do you run a first meeting? Step by step as well. And then it has all the prayers of the rosary in it. And then there's also the mysteries, the 20 mysteries and the fruits that go with each one. So the books can be used to start the group, and then also in the group, the children can hold them and use them in the prayer groups. So if you want to have 10 or 20 books, I should mention a lot of our groups are small, so you're not trying to target 100 children. You may be just trying to invite one, two or three families initially, and maybe it will grow, maybe it won't, and it'll stay very small and a tight. You know, often adult prayer groups are tiny, and that's where you get the relationships that start to form. So the book is very helpful in starting your group and useful within the meetings themselves. And we also have people who make rosaries, and so if you need rosaries, let us know. We ask a donation for the shipping, but we'll help you get the rosaries if you need them, you don't have access to them. There's instructional videos on how do you start a group, lots of different things coming up. So we have an instructional video, how do you run your first meeting? It shows the children kneeling around the altar, taking turns going to the podium. We have the optional use of flowers to place before our Blessed Mother as we're asking for those fruits of each mystery. So all of that's shown so that you can see. We have a video, too, that has the four mysteries, the glorious, sorrowful, joyful, luminous mysteries, all prayed by the children. So that gives you a window into a full meeting, like full prayer. So you can order that. And that video has those instructional videos. We have CDs with music and the children praying the rosary. And the music can be played at the end of the meetings with our theme song. So there's a lot of that we try to help people make this as you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time a group starts. So,
no, that's wonderful. Tell me just real quick, how long does the average meeting take? I mean, how long is the average children's rosary meeting last?
Well, usually it's not very long. It's about 20 minutes in the length of praying a rosary, and then it's optional whether you want to have some little snack afterwards. You have a little bit of time for the children to talk, just as you would, you know, naturally for an adult group where you want to just share things with people. So it's not very long. A lot of times people have it after a mass or maybe in the morning on a Saturday, could be in an evening. We have groups meeting throughout every day of the week throughout the day, so people have chosen to meet at all different times. And our website, just so you know, it's childrensrosary.org is where all those resources were. I should have mentioned that. And we have a blog, childrensrosary.blogspot.com, where we feature stories about the groups. So you can see groups from around the world, what they're doing, and just kind of, it's inspiring, really, to see the children from so many different parts of the world and how they're coming together in prayer.
Yeah, it really is. And so I encourage you to visit childrensrosary.org, which is the website Blythe just mentioned, for all those incredible resources, videos, everything. It's all detailed out there. But let's talk a little bit about the view from heaven map on your website, and also video, and how the children are inviting others to join them in prayer. Let's just touch on that because it's really powerful.
Oh, thank you, Bill. Yes, we have something on our website. It's called The View from Heaven. So if you can imagine what Our Lady and our Lord, do they see the lights of cars and homes, or do they see the lights of prayer? And we like to imagine that indeed they do see the lights of prayer when they look down. And so what we have is this night sky that shows the whole world, and it's dark. And when you register your group, you're asked to put when your group is meeting. So when a group is meeting, actively meeting at that moment, a blue light shines in the world, flashes in the world where the children are meeting. And then there's an invitation. It says, join us in prayer. And so you can hit a button and immediately, you don't have to fill any more information out, and you become a gold light where you are in the world. And so other people, we have a French and a Spanish website and the English. It's all integrated. So if someone's on the Spanish site or the French site, they hit join in prayer, you see them, and likewise. So it's a way that we can all invite others to prayer. And we've asked the groups on our intention sheet that goes to them that they place before them to lift up in prayer, amongst their other things they're praying for, to pray for those unifying prayers with them. So in this way, you can really benefit from the prayers of the children as well. So we're seeing more and more people hitting join in prayer. And so for the children, it's very exciting because they can look on the map and they can see while they're praying, there's somebody in, I think we had someone from United Arab on the other day, people from England and Philippines, Vietnam, all throughout the world joining in prayer. So it makes the world feel smaller and smaller. And that's actually the video we released, is kind of that of the world spinning and the lights of prayer coming, and you see the children, pictures of the children coming out of the lights, and it gives you that whole sense of what this really is.
How beautiful, how beautiful. And this apostolate, you know, man, what an amazing thing. I'm sure that Our Lady and Our Lord, as you mentioned, what do they look down for? They look down for the prayers of the children. I'm almost speechless because it is so beautiful. You know, and teaching children at a young age to pray the rosary and to pray and to come together in their own social group. All of these things are present in this apostolate, and it's you know, easy, but it does take work, as you mentioned. But all of the resources are at childrensrosary.org, or on the Spanish website they have rosarydeninos.org. Tell me a little bit about the blogspot, childrensrosary.blogspot. Do you have a monthly blog as well, or a weekly blog?
Well, we actually almost daily put pictures and feature groups on that. When we have masses, we have a mass set on the 25th of every month for all the members of the Children's Rosary. Often the groups will do things like masses for the whole apostolate as well. So we feature those types of things if we're going to do a novena or thing. So it's nice for all the different groups and people to be connected with all the other groups. And the one thing, I don't know if the listeners realize this, but actually, we've seen older children, so even the upper teenage years, start groups. We've seen single individuals. We've had seminarians. We've had grandparents, of course, parents, but all sorts of different people. The call is to everyone. I mean, there's no one excluded. We have two blind group leaders that have their guide dogs as part of the leading the group. So we have our materials in Braille. I mean, our Lord has shown us that you might not think you're, you know, someone who starts things normally, but you might be just the right person to do it.
Yeah, how beautiful is that? I mean, you know, the universal call to holiness really is embodied in your apostolate. You've got so many different people from all different walks of life bringing children together to pray the rosary and to just be with Our Lady and Our Lord. You know, this is the year for the rosary, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, it's the 100th anniversary of Fatima. We just concluded that, and so this is really the year to jump on the rosary bandwagon if you haven't already done so. Blythe, just tell me, you know, is there anything else that is of importance that I missed asking you during the interview here? Because I hate to miss important things, you know. So just talk with me a little bit about if I missed anything, or you want to share anything else with us.
No, just that we're very accessible. People have questions; they don't want to necessarily start a group, but just join in prayer. We're happy to talk to you. We do have a phone number that you can reach us at. We're located in Connecticut, 860-785-3340. So we do have a phone number as well at childrensrosary.org. You're going to find a lot of information, but also the childrensrosary.blogspot.com we've had from the very beginning. So you can go back years and see just how in its infancy, how it's grown, the stories, and lots of different things in there. There's a lot of depth of material there to kind of just poke around and look around and things. So we hope that you'll become part of this in some facet because there is a lot of graces coming from so many little children praying, and we all, it's a difficult time. It's a difficult time to raise children. We look to the future. What will it be? So this has a way of impacting the future in a very, very positive way.
Absolutely. The future is bright, especially with the Children's Rosary. You know, once again, it's for all people, you know, young Catholics that are listening to this, teens, 20s, 30s, start this apostolate, get it going in your area, in your church. View the view from heaven map on the website. I'll give it one more time, childrensrosary.org. In Spanish, rosarydeninos.org. And you mentioned there's a French one as well. You want to mention the French website, Blythe?
Sure. It's rosairedesenfants.org. So there's, and we have links. If you just go to the childrensrosary.org, on the upper left, you can toggle between the English, Spanish, and French, and it'll bring you over to the full other complement in the other languages. So, yeah, so if someone likes prefers a different language, we've got those. It was three at this point.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Blythe. It's been a wonderful conversation, and wish you continued success, and I know you'll have it with this wonderful apostolate. So thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you again, too.
All right, well, this has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond here on Patchwork Heart Radio. Until next time, from all of us here at Patchwork Heart Ministry, I'm Bill Snyder. Keep beating to your Catholic heart.
This has been an episode of Young Catholics Respond. For more information about this program or Patchwork Heart Ministry, visit patchworkheart.org. That's patchworkheart.org. Or email info@patchworkheart.org. Do you want to keep your finger on the pulse of Patchwork Heart Ministry? Follow our monthly blog, Written on Our Hearts. Simply go to patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com and click subscribe and follow the on-screen instructions. That's patchworkheartministry.blogspot.com, then click subscribe.
Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard?
Do you seek to make Scripture a greater part of your daily faith journey? Would you like it readily available on your smartphone or tablet? The Truth and Life Bible app delivers to your mobile device the complete Catholic edition of the Revised Standard Version of the Bible with a concordance entirely free. You will also enjoy free content from Father Robert Barron's Word on Fire, Father Jim McElhone's Word Made Clear, Jeff Caven's The Great Bible Adventure, and the Catholic News Agency. In addition, you can hear the Gospel of Mark dramatically proclaimed by world-renowned actors and actresses like Blair Underwood, Neil McDonough, Kristen Bell, and many more. The full audio dramatization of the New Testament, along with the Ignatius Study Bible, can be purchased within the app. It is available on the App Store, Google Play, Amazon Kindle, and at downloadjesus.com.
Our Blessed Mother wants only the best for her children and has given us a special place where she promises to help all those who appeal to her motherly love and protection. Telling Saint Juan Diego that here I will alleviate the sufferings of all those who love me and seek my protection. That holy place is now the site of the beautiful Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. If you would like to learn more about how you can visit this special place of grace, please visit vivaguadalupe.org for more information. Our Lady may be calling you now.